Hi, today is October 13th, 2019. This is Movies Podcast 304. I'm Todd Agassawart, my good friend John Westfall, and I've got a question for John. Oh, I should note, I think we haven't had a podcast in like a month because there's
it's been a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think John is traveling.
Busy.
I had some stuff.
Yeah. You've had things in your life happen. I've had things in my life happen. We're just, I think it was September 15th. So
yeah.
We haven't gone fully a month, but if people thought we were dead, we are sorry to disappoint.
Okay, so I got a question for John right out of the gate, and that is, so macOS Catalina was released. Did you upgrade?
I did upgrade. I actually upgraded about a couple of days before the general release when the Gold Master hit the developer website. So I have been running it for about a week, longer than most people.
All right. Well, I've got an item that I want to talk about in our rundown that's related to Catalina, but we'll get to that. Okay. Hey, you know.
I found,
go ahead.
Yeah. Oh no. I was just going to say Catalina, from what I have seen of it, is not too terribly different, other than 32-bit apps going away. So I now have them relegated to my old 2009 MacBook Pro. But otherwise, it seems to be pretty stable. I haven't missed iTunes. The new music app seems to work as well, and I can still create smart playlists, which was my one concern when I upgraded, and it was hard to get a straight answer on if Apple still had that feature in there, because they've never brought it to iOS. My hope is that one day they bring smart playlists to iOS for editing. You can play them, you just can't create them. But I've also noticed my iOS 13 devices have been a little buggier in the last week than they were when it first came out. So I'm not quite sure if that's just developers trying out new things or if that's just the bugs held off for a while. For me.
And are you on the current rev, 13.1?
I should be, because I pretty much uninstalled all of my developer profiles as soon as 13 officially hit.
Because, you know,
I'm on 13.1 too.
Okay, because that's one of the things that really struck me about iOS 13, which was released, middle of last month or middle-ish of last month. It's gotten two dot upgrades since it was released in just 30 days. So, you know, if you say it's buggy, I think Apple says that too. Otherwise, they wouldn't have upgraded twice in 30 days, which is unusual, I think.
It is a little strange for them.
Yeah. Okay, now next on to some sad news. You might recall when my Spotwatch service was cut off, John, that was very traumatic. And not quite as bad because I don't have service loss, but my Fitbit One, which is nearly 6 years old, like 5.5 to be more accurate. Ooh, I'm getting a lot of sound on.
Yeah, my, hold on one moment. My headset died and it went to my default. So I'm going to mute you for a moment while I fix this and you talk about 13.1 because I can still hear you, but you're hearing all my background.
Okay, actually, I'm talking about my Fitbit One. But anyway, so while John has some technical difficulties, so my Fitbit One is 5.5 years old. For those of you who don't remember Fitbit, step counting, a really good step counting piece of hardware. I've been using it for, I'm going to say probably close to 10 years. Starting with the Fitbit, I think it was just called the Fitbit, and then the Fitbit Ultra, which came in about a year or two after that, and then the Fitbit One. And then after that, none of the pocketable or clip-on Fitbits really interested me. They're much lower end, lack some features. And then Fitbit stopped making a pocketable or clip-on Fitbit, so I just stayed my Fitbit One. And you know, when you stop and think about it, what six-year-old device are you still currently using? For me, the only thing I'm still using on a regular basis, 6 years old, is my MacBook Air. And I should say it's my 2013 MacBook Air that I inherited from my daughter after she graduated. So, you know, the MacBook Air and my Fitbit One were the only two old technology products that I used consistently in all that time. So what happened is the button on my Fitbit broke. Which means the Fitbit still works. It still tracks steps, stairs, you know, all that stuff. But I can't activate the display. I can't do a soft reset. And most importantly, I can't track sleep. So I contacted Fitbit. You know, it's obviously out of warranty, but I wanted to see if they had any ideas. Their one idea didn't work because it requires the button to work, you know, to do a soft reset. So I said, you know, and I'm not complaining. Getting 5.5 years of literally daily service from a product, I'm happy with that. I think I paid maybe $100 for it, and I feel like I've gotten my money's averaging it out. It's less than $20 a year. You can't buy 5 lattes with it. So
not easily. Happy.
No, no. So, but what they did do, by the way, is, you know, so I was all set to buy their Charge 3 wristband and maybe cutting off the wristband or something and just putting it in my pocket. They said, no, it really doesn't work well that way, but we've got a new product called Inspire. Actually, there are two new products, Inspire and Inspire HR, that you can take the wristband off, and there's a little case you can put clip it on or put it in your pocket. And it's cheaper. It's where I think the Fitbit Charge was in the $150 to $200 range. The Inspire is, I think, in a $70 to $100 range. I went to Sam's Club, and they didn't have the lower-end one, so I just bought the Inspire HR. HR is heart rate. And picked that up yesterday. I haven't picked up the thing from my pocket. I'm actually wearing it on my wrist to see if I like it. In fact, right now here, I'll hold it up for John to see. So, I've got...
Yeah, you're just...
Yeah.
You know, if they were gold, you could be doing a Wonder Woman impersonation right now.
Well, I was thinking if they're... Well, they're both a dark gray black. I was thinking Space Ghost. Probably before your time.
Yeah.
You know, his power bands.
I'll go with Space Ghost on that. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so I've got 2 wristbands on. I've got an Apple Watch and a Fitbit Inspire HR. And I have to say, you know, if I didn't have an Apple Watch, the Fitbit HR is not bad. It does calendar notifications and time, you know, of course, and some other stuff. So it's actually quite good. It does heart rate, as I mentioned earlier, and of course steps. The one thing it doesn't do that my one does, and I say does because my Fitbit one still works, you know, except for the whole button, is it doesn't track floor climb, which I found endlessly fascinating, especially when, you know, my daughter took me hiking with her, and she always makes me climb things. So,
yeah,
including going up to the top of a waterfall in Oregon once, and I think the Fitbit said we climbed 9, let me see if I got this right, 92 floors?
I don't know who to feel more sorry for, the Fitbit or you on that, but...
But at any rate, I think that was my record on floors climbed in a single effort. Anyway, so the Fitbit one, it still works. In fact, I still have it paired with my phone. I asked Fitbit, do I have to unpair it when I buy this new? It says, no, you can have multiple Fitbit devices paired to your... And in fact, they track steps together. So if I take off the Inspire HR and I put the Fitbit one in my pocket, it'll continue counting steps, and if I switch back, it'll continue counting steps and, you know, aggregate the steps from both devices. It's pretty remarkable, really, when you think about it. I mean, especially for those of us who remember ActiveSync, barely being able to synchronize one device.
You know, there are those of us that have tried to block ActiveSync out of our minds as much as possible.
I'm sorry, John, if I brought up traumatic memories for you.
You might have triggered most of our listening with that one. ActiveSync, not the best software on the planet when it came to reliability.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it was only named after syncing, but it did not sync as well as we might want.
No, not at all. Well, and of course...
It's interesting, you talk about Fitbit, and I'm trying to remember, my wife got a Fitbit last year for her birthday, and I believe it was a similar model to what you have over there, because it does do heart rate. I'm actually trying to find the receipt, since I was the one who bought it for her birthday, but... that was her idea was that what she needed a Fitbit was perfectly fine for. Watch would be overkill.
Yeah, I think the higher end Fitbits do floors climbed. So, you know, this is again the relatively lower end. You know, it's under $100. Let's call it $100 for the high end Inspire HR and the lower end without the heart rate.
And I'm getting direction from off camera that it's the Charge 3.
That's one I almost bought. Yeah, which is it's a higher end device. I guess it has more features. I think it has a larger display. But basically, it's better. And if you don't have an Apple Watch,
the only thing I know she's had issues with is contactless payment. Fitbit Pay doesn't always work as in the same place as that Apple Pay will. So,
and you know, I've never used any of my devices to pay, right? Except at the Apple Store.
Well, I'll make it
Yeah, it's the only place I've ever used it to pay any. Anyway, so I have now, I've still got the Fitbit One. I'll charge it up every now and then, and I might use it if I have to go climbing something. But for now, and also, you know, I wanted sleep tracking. And the interesting thing about the Inspire, and I guess the higher end Fitbit devices is you don't have to press a button to start sleep tracking. It figures out when you know. I think it's even supposed to like measure REM sleep, but I haven't found that. And I have no idea how it figures that out. Maybe because you're sleeping but twitchy? I don't know. You know, like when you watch videos of dogs and cats in REM sleep and their kind of atonus disappears and they're still sleeping, but you see their little legs flailing around like running or something. Atonia, I guess.
You might be just like that, but you have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so a fond farewell to my Fit One, or kind of farewell. Hello to my Fitbit Inspire HR, and thanks to Fitbit support for not only giving me good advice, but giving me advice that actually is, you know, spent less on their products than I would have had I not known about this relative and to go look for. I found it at Sam's Club, by the way, Val, so I didn't even have to order it. Okay, next up is another change. And so, you know, the reason I asked John about his Catalina, macOS Catalina update is because, as he mentioned, Catalina no longer supports 32-bit app. And the non-open source freeware I use called Levelator to adjust the volume of John and my voice, the final product, is no longer, it's a 32-bit app, so it's no longer supported. I should note that without running Levelator on these podcast recordings, John's voice, I think, would sound significantly lower in volume, simply because, you know, that's the nature of, you know, we have different microphones, we stand or sit at different distance or whatever, you know, all kinds of differences. So it really helps make it sound like we're actually more or less talking at the same volume level. I did spend a whole $30 and I bought Rogue Amiga's Fission audio editor for my Mac, hoping it would replace both Levelator, the freeware Levelator, and the open source Audacity, which is what I used to actually edit our podcast. But I thought Fission could do some of the silence clipping and level audio leveling, but I'm not sure it does silence clipping now, although that was one of the features. I just got to go find it, I guess. And the audio leveling, I'll try it with this podcast and we'll see. If this doesn't work, what I'll do is do the audio leveling on an older Mac or in a Windows box using Levelator, which still works there, and then ship it back to the Mac to finish off. But we'll see. You know, and I, like I said, I had hopes, and it didn't seem to do multiple audio layers. So, you know, I bring in like the intro sound and things on a separate audio layer, and I don't know. Maybe I got to read up more on it. But I'll give the audio leveling a try, and we'll see how it sounds for this podcast. This will be the first podcast not using Levelator in many. I need to think about buying a new Mac too. Like I said, the newest Mac I have is 2013. But at any rate, another thing, you know, I just picked up. So I really need to label stuff better. Which is to say, I should need to label stuff, period. So things are easier to find. And I've long wanted a Bluetooth label maker, or even USB. But quite frankly, they're all too much money for the number of times I figured I would use a label maker. But I noticed on Amazon that they had a Brother P-Touch label printer for under $40. It only works with iOS and Android devices. In other words, you can't use it with the desktop systems, but that's fine with me. Which means you can use the visual keyboard or physical keyboard with a iPhone or Android or iOS device and print it out. And you know, quite frankly, it's pretty cool because it can do things. At least I don't think you can do on a standard label. Like I can put a box around the letters. I think I can have multi lines. You can have little decorative things surrounding the text to make the label stand out a little more. So I'm kind of pleased with it for, you know, like I said, under $40. One thing I haven't tried is to install the Android software on my Chromebook and see if I could print from there. That would kind of be ideal since I'd have a full-size keyboard. And so after I finish the podcast, I think I'll try that and see what happens. Do you use the labeler much, John, or you just scribble stuff on a tape? Like most of us.
I do, and I have a Brother P-Touch labeler that I've had for over 10 years. It's probably about 15 years old now. And it connects over USB, and I can use the software on Windows to print out my labels. Yeah. But I've thought about because the P-Touch labelers still use the same cartridges,
right.
I think they all use the same similar cartridge.
Yeah.
After I saw yours, I went and put it on my wish list because I might want to pick that up, because for just quick labels, it would be nice to have that, because right now I have to pull the label maker out and set it up and
use a funky keyboard. And
yeah, well, I can print them. I can type it straight on my computer's keyboard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, USB. Yeah.
But it only runs on Windows, so I have to boot up a virtual machine to connect it up to, and then have the software loaded on there. So that can be a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I've been happy with it. I mean, it's lasted for quite a number of years now, so hopefully you will get the same amount of use out of your brother.
Yeah, so I should note, I don't actually have a brother, but...
Yes. Well, your fake brother.
Yeah. And my my brother from another gadget. So this is it. It looks kind of like a Mac Mini, a little bit smaller than a first-gen Mac Mini. It's like a Mac Mini. It's got no keyboard. It's got no display. It's just got a window to let you see what tape you have in there. It's got an on switch, power. Yep. I got one of those.
And so I'm pretty sure that yours and I use the same tapes that look somewhat like that.
Yeah.
So that's the attractiveness of Brother, is that they have not changed their tape format in forever. So I actually found a bunch of these tapes years ago on eBay for, I don't know, I think I bought like 7 or 8 of them for $20 total. And so I've been using that same, pile of tapes that I bought then.
Yeah, I'm not sure which TZ this is. I think it's like TZ something. What does it say? TZ0? Something like that. So I bought a 4-pack from Amazon, you can take different widths, or you can place different widths of tape in it, so you're not stuck with one size tape, which I think you can handle 4 different, depending on what size. So pretty handy, runs on batteries, although it does come with an AC adapter, so and I'm hoping to use it. I don't know if I ever told you about this, and I'm going to look it up before I say the name, because it's a little bit morbid if it's what I remember. It is exactly what I remember, so... So there's a story a couple of years ago that I remember seeing. After I decided that Marie Kondo was too extremist for me in her tidiness philosophy. And so there's this thing called Swedish death cleaning, which to me is, it's basically setting your affairs in order. And so, including cleaning, organizing your physical stuff. And so this whole labeling stuff is, like... people know what the heck are in various boxes. But anyway, so I think it's kind of practical. And it's actually helpful, even if you're not planning to die anytime soon, to know where your stuff is.
Yeah, the operative word there is not planning to die soon. I mean, I'm planning to die at some point, but not soon.
Yeah. But regardless of when you are going to, shuffle off this mortal plane, as they say, it's good to label stuff. I mean, it's just good to be able to find stuff. So I'm pretty happy with this purchase, and under $40, if I get a couple of years of use out of it, if I don't get the 10 years you got out of yours, I'd still be pretty happy. Assuming I use it, more than once a month or something. Okay, so, now something I haven't bought that I'm really kind of, I've long wanted a 3D printer. And there are a couple of relatively inexpensive printers, but I just read about one. I have no idea if it's better than other inexpensive. Called the PRUSA, Prusa Mini. And it's available, I guess it will be available for $350 US. Print value of 18 by 18 by 18 centimeters, which is 7 by 7 by 7 inches roughly. So it's actually makes pretty good big stuff. And... I don't know, I'm just really fascinated by 3D printers. Never really done it, seen it. Know some friends are pretty much into it, but I don't know. Maybe I'll spring for it for Christmas. If anybody has, if any of our friends have, our fives of friends, 3D printer suggestions, please let me know. I'm certainly not an expert, and I just happened to come across it and thought, pretty interesting.
I've thought about 3D printing, but also I sort of have the benefit that I don't have a lot of space where I'm living right now, so that stops me from buying things like 3D printers that will just take up space.
Yeah, and so this is not that big.
I've been lucky in that I can let this shake out a little bit, but if it's not that big, it might become something to play with.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the footprint for it, and it looks like it is 15 inches wide and maybe 17 inches deep. Let me rephrase that. It is 15 inches wide, 13 inches deep, and 15 inches high. So not that huge, you know, smaller than a 1984 Mac, way small. 3D printers, and let's see. Oh, yeah. One of the last items I wanted to talk to you about is today, as we record this, as I said, is October 13th. We're 2 days away from Google's October 15th hardware announcement. I don't know, John. Anything in an announcement you find interesting, or alleged announcements? These all gift cards.
I mean, I am still hoping at some point that there's an Android phone that lures me away to just play with it and try it. And I've almost pulled the trigger. I've almost pulled the trigger a few times on the Pixel line, but every time I just sort of hold off. So I don't know what exactly it would be that would entice me, but I'm hoping. I always hope for some innovation and go, wow, that's really cool. I want to have that.
Yeah. So let's start at the stuff that I think you might find interesting. The Pixel 4, which is the new phone that's supposed to come out. It's supposed to have a couple of cool new features, including, I think, although I don't think it's restricted to the Pixel 4, including speech-to-text transcription. Now, the funny thing is there is an app right now for Android. In fact, I use it now called Google Transcribe, Live Transcribe, that does speech to text, but it doesn't save it in an editable form. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it around to show John, and I think you can see that it's transcribing my speech to him as I talk to him live, in real time. So it's pretty impressive, but I don't think this thing can save it to a text file, although to be honest, but I assume it's based on this. I think one huge difference is this requires connectivity to the cloud. So really, I'm transcribing to a server somewhere. And I think this one, the Pixel 4, may actually do it on the device. So, if you don't have any cell service, say you're traveling and you don't have roaming, it might be pretty. Anyway, it's been transcribing as I've been talking to John's.
Yeah, it's done a pretty good job. I've enjoyed the fact that it can get the grammatical structures correct as well after it thinks about them for a few moments.
Yeah. It gets a punctuation, all those kind of things. I think that if it had like music in the background or something, it would note that there was music and things like that. Kind of like if you watch captioned movies, which I do frequently. Not so much because I'm hard of hearing, which I'm not really, but because I watch a lot of foreign languages. Yeah, I barely understand. So I think that's the thing that would interest you most, John. Looking at the thing next, I'm thinking. The rest of the stuff you probably don't find interesting. That apparently the Pixel Bud version 2, which is kind of like your AirPod, and I know you're happy with your AirPods. Mm-hmm. So. Hey, I forgot. Did you say you bought the new AirPods?
I have not. I'm still waiting more year, I think, for the next AirPod revision.
Okay, and I have not bought any AirPods, period, so there you go. Don't think I'm going to buy the Pixel Buds if they come out. I do have the wired ones, which are only $30. So, I have that. But I never bought the $200, $50 one. Pixel Buds. Don't have the AirPods either. So, John wouldn't be interested in that. There are rumors that there may be a Pixel Watch, but some of the news sites are now poo-pooing that idea of a release, at least a release date of this month, maybe later. And then I think there's some kind of Nest thing that we probably don't care about. And finally, there's an upgrade to the Pixelbook rumored to be called the Pixelbook Go. And the surprising thing to me about it is, although it's touchscreen, does not appear to have a stylus option, which I found. And it is also not a two-in-one, so you can't fold it over, 360 and make it into a slate, a tablet-type device. Some people are calling it a Google's MacBook Air, because that's pretty much what it looks like. Yeah. If it's super expensive, I'm not interested in it at all. If it's affordable, and affordable to me would be like under $400, I might be interested, because I'm thinking about using a Chromebook at work to carry around, because I got this, it's not giant, but I got this Lenovo ThinkPad that I just don't like. I mean, it's even got the trackpad, okay, give me your thoughts on this, John. Where should a trackpad, or where should trackpad button reside in relation to the trackpad?
Either at the bottom or over slightly to the side, wherever your thumb will naturally find them.
The Lenovo trackpad buttons are above the trackpad.
Seems wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like it would be good if your hand was reversed.
Yeah, if your thumbs were where your little finger was and your little finger where your thumb was, maybe it'd be okay. But Otherwise, no. It's just a bad idea. And of course, it's got the little nub thing, you know, from the old IBM days. Mm-hmm. I never use it. I think it has it. I should go look at it when I go back to work tomorrow. But anyway, I just don't like it. So, you know, I'll use it because that's what I was given. That's what I was issued, you know. So I'll continue to use it until the refresh cycle. I guess I won't be around for next refresh cycle. But we'll see. we'll see. Anyway, I'm considering going to get permission to use something other than a Windows box. Use either Chrome or maybe an iPad. And I'll buy it myself. I don't expect them to buy it. I'll buy it myself, but go through their security procedures and blah, 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 and not put anything that works. That's my theory. So the Pixelbook Go, I don't know. If the price point were right, but without a stylus, I'm not sure I find it all that. You know, I think I don't have it in our show notes, but I think between now, today, and our last podcast, Microsoft announced a couple of more prototype things. But I was curious what you thought.
Different size surfaces. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I'm quite happy with my Surface the way it is now. So I was not too into some of the changes they were making. But it is good to see that Microsoft isn't just abandoning Surface tablets for Surface books.
Yeah. So. And they also announced an Android-based Surface phone, which people had been expecting for a long time. But, you know, for those of us who remember Windows Mobile and Windows Phone, it's almost shocking, although it was long expected. You never would have thought Microsoft used operating system. What do you think about the Surface Neo Win, which is not available yet? There's no price, I think, but it's that two-display notebook.
So we've been hearing about two displays for so long that I'm waiting for a company to be able to do it right and do it in a compelling way that makes me see a good use scenario. Because right now you've got the idea of, do you build two displays into a device? Do you have a display that, you know, is ancillary that you could use or you don't have to use? Do you do something like Sidecar on macOS where you use your iPad as a secondary display?
Right.
I've never actually been in the wild and see someone using a setup like that. So I sort of wonder when we're going to actually see it in the wild, someone popularize it or make it make sense for greater than like five people.
Right. And the other interesting thing about NeoWin is that the displays are not side by side. They're they're top and bottom, kind of like where the keyboard, and there is a physical keyboard that kind of folds out, I think. So you would have two screens plus a physical keyboard, or just two screens, the bottom screen as a visual keyboard. I'm kind of curious about it. If it's not too awfully expensive, I might spring for one. But I haven't bought a Windows device in a long time. Rarely use a Windows device at home anymore. I mean, I have them. I just don't use them. In fact, I had to boot up my Windows notebook a while back, which is a whole Dell R15. And it took forever to update because I was like months and months and months and maybe a year behind it. That was the last time I... Okay. Any other interesting items, John? New toys? Get a new watch?
I looked around before the podcast trying to see if I've done anything revolutionary in the last month in my technology, and I really have not. So I think I'm just very boring this month.
It has been kind
of boring. But I have started thinking about my 2020 refresh of devices, you know, what I'd like to consider picking up. So, you know, it's on my to-do list to think about some of these things, especially because I haven't bought a new MacBook in, and at that point it'll be 5 years, and my iPhone will be 3 years old, because right now it's an iPhone 10, so I'm thinking next year is going to be a big technology purchase year.
Yeah, the MacBook Air that I'm using to record this podcast, which, as I said, is the newest Mac I have, is 2013, so it's a little over 6 years old. I think I got it the summer of 2013 for my daughter, so it's you know, long overdue for an upgrade. Although I'm excited because it replaced that 2010 MacBook Air for me. So it's quite a bit peppier. You know, it's got 8 gigs of RAM and a Core i7, blah, blah, blah. And the MacBook Air, I think, had a Core Duo and 4 gigs of RAM. This is quite, and I should say it still performs admirably. And it's the only device I have left that can upgrade to Catalina OS. Still haven't pulled the plug, and it's not forcing me to. Maybe it thinks, so. And this is, so Levelator still works. I'm running, Any rate, okay, so John and I are still alive and kicking. And yep. This has been Mobley's Podcast 304, and we'll talk to you next time.